You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend. Hour two, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Peter King will join us. He's got his Super Bowl prediction, also has his playoff predictions. A couple of surprises in there. I took a sneak peek. Got to get my inside information here as I get ready to make my Super Bowl prediction. That'll be coming up on Thursday. Best and worst of the weekend. We weren't here yesterday. We always do that on Monday, so you get a chance to do it today. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like, dial us up. You can email, you can tweet. We'll say good morning to Peacock, our TV partners, and also our great radio affiliates around the country. This in from Adam Schefter, the Saints and Pro Bowl running back Alvin Kamara, extremely close to a lucrative new extension. The two sides are hoping to finalize in the next couple of days, per sources. The deal would silence any recent trade speculation and keep Kamara in New Orleans during the prime of his career. First of all, I never bought into the trade scenarios. That felt like, hey, let's get out in front of this and have a hot take. We're already seeing articles and takes, people speculating where the Greek Freak will be next year or the year after that. He's an unrestricted free agent after next season. I don't know if he's going to play tonight. I don't know the severity of the injury, the ankle injury. But if I'm the Bucs, I'm overly cautious here. You're not going to win this series. And I think they know they're not going to win this series. And I got to be cautious with him. I want him to know that we care about him long term, not just for this game or the next game. And if he's out there limping, because there are things you can do that you're going to try to reduce the swelling, the pain. You're going to ice it. You're going to tape it. You could shoot it up, whatever it might be. But I want him to know we're invested in you long term. This isn't about we need you to play tonight. I needed him to play more minutes in this series. Not now. You're down 3-1. You had a Herculean task that the rest of the team, the roster came up big. You won in overtime. I would not have him out there. Because if I'm Miami, if he's out there, we're going at him. I'm making him work. I'm making him go side to side. Yeah. I'm going to make him work as much as possible. And I'm going to have Bam Adebayo go right at him. But you also have Lakers, Rockets. That'll be coming up tonight. That's game three as well. The Heat are up 3-1. The Rockets tied with the Lakers game apiece. Celtics up 3-2 on the Raptors. Clippers won last night. They're up 2-1 on the Nuggets. What happened to Jamal Murray? He had a 3-game stretch that was postseason history, averaging 47 a game. Since then, missing in action. They got to have him play great if they have any chance. Jokic played well again last night, but I got to have Jamal Murray be great. Paul George played great last night. So if I get Paul George and Kawhi Leonard playing great, then the only other team that can cancel them out, in my opinion, is the Lakers if LeBron and Anthony Davis play well. But that's what it has to be. And I get Paul George and Kawhi on both ends of the floor being elite defenders. Anthony Davis is an elite defender. LeBron isn't. But that's the only pair that can cancel those two out. If Paul George is playing well at both ends and he's getting 30 a night, Kawhi is going to be there. Never have to worry about him. Anthony Davis, I'm never quite sure, but when he does show up, he shows up bigger than the other players that I just mentioned. And then LeBron, you would expect LeBron to be there as well. But that's where we stand with the postseason bubble action. Game 5, Heat Bucks tonight, Lakers Rockets game 3. Best and worst of the weekend. Yes, Todd?
How could two top teams like the Lakers and Rockets be so inconsistent? You were saying in the last segment you have no idea what to expect for the next game between those two teams.
Well, we saw the Rockets come out with small ball, and they were the better team, comfortably the better team in game 1. And then all of a sudden, the Lakers came back and then acted like the Lakers, and the Rockets acted like the Rockets. It's just the Rockets are so unpredictable that they give you brilliance, but then they'll also lay a couple of eggs. And that's why it's hard for them to advance, because I don't think they can stay consistently good, bordering on great, for 4 games, to win 4 games. And you can't have an off-night shooting. And that's their margin of error is as small as any team still in the bubble. because it feels like if they have a bad night, they have a really bad night. Yeah, McLovin.
I saw this quote right after the loss where LeBron said, I think we figured out this team's speed. And I was like, oh, no, LeBron's mad. He's going to win that game. Is that what the adjustment you're talking about? Like the Lakers kind of figure out how to play this small team?
I would hope you know how to play them before you got into the bubble. Like you can't go, boy, we didn't understand their team speed.
Well, yeah, but when you're coming off a different series with the Blazers, the Rockets are so weird. You know, it's just never see a team with Robert Covington's a center.
Yeah, but I want them to adapt to me and our offense. Like I don't want to. John Wooden used to do this at UCLA. He said, I don't need to scout you. You have to scout us. Like you have to prepare for us. And if I'm the Lakers, prepare for us. And Anthony Davis, play center. Like I don't know why this is a problem. Hey, he's willing to play center. Wow, what a sacrifice. All it is you're listed as a C instead of an F. That's it. It's not a big deal. Oh, he's willing to play center. Man, that's almost like Willis Reed coming out of the locker room in 1970. It's like Kirk Gibson going to the plate and hitting a homer off Eck. Just play. Nobody cares what your designation is. You a two or three? You a four? Like, just play. Who cares? Yes, McLovin.
Are those around anymore, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5?
I don't know if they are, you know. But that was a big thing, you know. Are you a 1 or you're a 2?
Which were you?
I'm a stretch 4. I guess a 2. I don't know. We just, like you were a guard, and then you were a forward, and you were a center. Now you're a stretch 3. Huh? This is like, you know, the NFL... insiders will always give you that they're like they have their own little language, you know, three tech gap responsibility. And like, what? Like, it's not just good enough to just say something simple. It's like, hey, you're not in the fraternity. You know, if you're going to take the top off the muffin there. Yes, McLovin.
I always thought like a 3 technique and a 5 technique meant the defensive lineman had like 3 moves he could pull on you,
so
like
a
karate chop.
That's not what it is, McLovin.
No, it's where they line up, right? But I have no idea.
Yeah, Paulie.
I thought the same thing for years. Like, he's a 3 technique guy. We really love him. Like, why would you draft him over the 5 technique guy? Obviously, you want a guy with a 5 technique. I know he went to Northern Illinois, but he's got 5 techniques. If he had 6 techniques, he'd be the number one draft pick. Why would you take a 3 technique?
Speaking of number one draft picks, Jadeveon Clowney has landed in Tennessee. Give a very good defense, a little bit of a boost there. He's still not as good as what he was supposed to be. I don't think he take. There are times when I would watch him play in Seattle, and I didn't know if he was on the field. Like I'd eventually find his number. I just don't see him taking over games. And even when he had J.J. Watt on the other side, it just didn't feel like he was a great pass rusher. And it was almost like he was better in the run game there. Yeah, Paul.
I think I just figured something out. Clowney is going to Tennessee. The offensive tackle for Tennessee is Taylor Lewan out of Michigan, correct?
Yeah.
If they bring Vincent Smith into practice, they can reenact the play because Taylor Lewan was blocking against South Carolina.
Oh, he wasn't blocking.
Yeah, he was.
He was in his stance, I think.
Yeah, Taylor Lewan was going downhill to hit a linebacker and let Clowney blow by him, so they can reenact that play in practice.
And it wasn't a great play. He went unblocked. And took Vincent Smith's head off.
The helmet popping off, though, is so video game.
Oh, I know. It's like Rock'em Sock'em Robots. But that it felt like that's when the legend of Jadeveon Clowney started. And then his pro day. And remember, Teddy Bruschi of the Mothership. Oh, this is incredible. This is the best pro day I've ever seen. Like, we were just gushing. And we wondered at the time, if he didn't have that play in the Outback Bowl, would we be talking about Jadeveon Clowney the way we did when he came into the league? And I mentioned last hour, a source of mine said he doesn't have any lower body strength like that. He can be pushed around. This is when he was a rookie. And here he is on another team. And, you know, I wouldn't want to rely on him like T.J. Watt with the Steelers or Khalil Mack. You know, I wouldn't want to rely on him to be that kind of player, even Von Miller. But he's a talented player. I'm not going to go, boy, our defense is based on his success. Yeah, see.
Not only did Clowney just absolutely destroy that dude, knocked his helmet off and came up with the ball too. Yeah. Like, it's about as perfect a play as you could have.
I don't know if he had has he had a subsequent play that even comes close to that since
then? But how many people even get that one?
Oh, I know. He got one.
It was like Jefferson in Fast Times at Ridgemont High when he's hitting the other team after they screw up his car.
Yes, McClellan.
But did you notice when he signed with the Titans, like the entire, all summer we've been talking about Jadeveon Clowney. If he had gone to the Saints, it'd be like the number one story. But the Titans, people don't care about the Titans. It's like the, if they advance, everyone's going to be, like, nobody cares about this signing because Tennessee is so boring. Or am I missing something here?
Well, I don't think Tennessee gives you clicks.
Yeah, they ran, remember, and they got through the playoffs because they ran Derrick Henry for like 150 yards.
Yeah. But, you know, but keep that in mind. You know, when it comes to stories and how networks or shows pick and choose, a lot of times it has to do with what is the most popular story out there. Not the most important story or the best story, it's what will get clicked. That's why the Cowboys are always in the news. Always. Deshaun Watson's contract is really about Dak Prescott. It is. Like, okay, it's nice Deshaun Watson got paid. But the different strategies in the state of Texas, the Cowboys drag this out. And you go back to April of 2019, they should have gotten this deal done. They should have paid him $33, $34, even $35 million. Then he's a bargain. Pay him now. Move on. Don't look back. Every one of these quarterbacks, they get paid, you move on. And then you're going to look back and go, oh, man, you got him for $34.5 million average? Oh, that was a great deal. Instead, with the salary cap lowering, you know, with the NFL owners losing money here, salary cap goes down. Dak Prescott, with all of these weapons, I'm going to guess is going to have a pretty successful season. Adding more leverage to, well, you paid Deshaun Watson that, and you paid Mahomes that. Now, all of a sudden, Dak Prescott is going to probably ask and get $39 million a year. Unless they franchise tag him again. But you bring in Mike McCarthy, and you have weapons. You draft CeeDee Lamb, still have a good offensive line. You got a good running back. Dak Prescott should have a great year, and therefore add more leverage. Best and worst of the weekend. Nick in South Carolina leads us off this hour. Good morning, Nick. What do you have for me?
Hey, bud.
Hey, bud.
Two best of the weekend. I work in sports production. And after 6 months, I got to direct my first production. And it may have only been a high school football game, but it felt really good to get back there and start working again. Second best,
I'm going to go best and worst of the weekend. Wow. The best was you called. The worst was your phone line there, Nick. Sorry about that.
Doesn't work in the audio department.
No, it doesn't.
No offense.
Just had a friend who sent me an email. Remember Michael Jordan in 1985? Of course, it always goes back to Michael Jordan. He came back from his broken foot and insisted that he was going to play. And he eventually put up 63 points on the Celtics in the playoffs that year. Oh, come on. It's not the same. Jordan coming back from a broken foot. And people said, you can't risk it. Michael was risking his career. Remember Grant Hill? Grant Hill fought so hard to come back. And that was an ankle injury, wasn't it? And he never fully came back. Ankle and foot, and he never came back, fully came back. I don't know the Greek freak's injury. I mean, it might just be a sprained ankle. But still, I don't want to run the risk. I want him to know, you know what? We want you for years and years to come. We don't want to put you out there. We don't want to run the risk of any of this. He's going to want to play. But I also, as the coach, I want to take the bullet for him. If he doesn't want to play, that's when you say, we made the decision. Because I don't want him to be, oh, Greek Freak didn't want to play. Or he didn't tough it out. You got to be smart in a situation like this. Tobin in Florida joins us. Hey, Tobin, what's on your mind?
Sir Patrick, I bow down today. I am, oh my God, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Tobin.
Oh, goodness gracious. I know maybe it's a little off topic here. I just, you know, let's talk some baseball. I would love, I'm a big fan, not only of you, you are a G-O-D of the radio airwaves, but I'm just going to get to it. I'm a little nervous. I want to make an argument here, yes, sir, as to why Nolan Ryan is quite possibly the greatest pitcher of all time. Let's launch this.
Tobin, it kind of comes out of left field there.
It's on the rundown, Dan. We were going to break down Nolan Ryan's place.
No, but I appreciate you calling in, but it's such a left turn, and then I'm going to take a break, and I got Peter King coming up. But I love Nolan Ryan. He's not the greatest pitcher of all time, but Tobin, thank you. Thank you for calling in. I wasn't sure where we were going. Did I break his heart?
He'd been waiting months to get that Nolan Ryan take.
I know, but it just wasn't. This isn't the time to be talking about Nolan Ryan. He's an unbelievable pitcher, statistically. What, Tobin, where were you in April where I needed things to talk about? I got things to talk about. When I talked about Pedro Martinez for a couple of days, that's when I needed you. Come on, Tobin. It's about me, too. Yes, McLeod.
I mean, he wasn't even the best pitcher on his own staff in Houston, J.R. Richard. I'm just saying.
Yes, Todd.
And Tobin just sent a note. Julio Cesar Chavez, best pound-for-pound boxer in the world.
Thank you, Todd.
I want to make sure you knew that.
Thank you, Todd. All right.
USFL, why'd it go wrong? Tobin, next.
How about we take a break here?
His dream was to call the
show. I feel bad, but I couldn't. Now's not the time to be talking about the greatness of Nolan Ryan. How about Nolan Ryan's birthday? Maybe we talk about it.
His little voice fade out. And don't forget about the one.
Patrick Waugh. Best goalie? The best goalie.
All right, I'll say it. Secretariat, the greatest horse? Yes.
Dan is a little off topic, okay? But just follow me here. Okay? I apologize for bringing this up, but are you familiar with Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Dan, real quick, Electoral College.
Yeah. Odell Beckham Jr.
What
the third.
Thought?
Yeah. Oh, you keep saying he's a number one receiver. He's a number two receiver.
Zing.
Yep.
Zing.
Yep. Let's take a break. We'll make the smooth segue to Peter King coming up next here. It's 19 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Now's the time to celebrate. Football's finally back, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, has millions of reasons why you should be excited. DraftKings is giving new users a free shot at $1 million top prize and a total of $3 million up for grabs this Thursday with their football contest. Make sure you go to DraftKings, use the promo code SQUAD. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching a game like having a shot at $1 million payday. Download the DraftKings app now. Use the promo code SQUAD. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize and $3 million in total prizes. Don't miss this extra special week one bonus. Enter the promo code SQUAD and a free shot at $1 million top prize with your first deposit. Promo code is SQUAD only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit is required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. DraftKings.com, code SQUAD. Good luck. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. This award-nominated program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. It's the all-new GT four-door coupe. Because life is a race, visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you miss any interviews from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, go to danpatrick.com. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, Mercedes-AMG Driving Performance. I'll make my Super Bowl pick coming up on Thursday. Peter King has already made his public NBCSports.com NFL columnist and, of course, the column Football Morning in America. Do we do a drum roll here, Pete, for your Super Bowl prediction?
No, I think we do an air coming out of the balloon and a sad clown face. That's what we do for this pick.
Do you already want to redo on your Super Bowl pick?
Oh, no. I'm very happy with my Super Bowl pick. Nobody else is, but I'm quite happy.
All right.
And look, Dan, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, have had a perfect offseason. Perfect. With the exception of Duvernay-Tardif, you know, opting out at guard, which is pretty natural. You can't be a doctor in the middle of a pandemic or, you know, whatever his title is and just say, hey, I'm going to go play football now. But, I mean, they got 20 of 22 starters back, 20 of 21 coaches. It just they could be in for the long haul, you know, for the next 10 years being a Super Bowl contender. But, you know, we could say that about a lot of teams in the recent past, and 15 consecutive teams have not repeated. So, although on September 8th, I think the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team, I didn't go with them. You know, I went with Tampa Bay over Baltimore. And, you know, the Tampa Bay thing is weird. I get it. But, I've been on the Tampa Bay bandwagon since the day Brady signed because, Dan, look, the Bucs turned it over 41 times last year. The last team to turn it over 41 times or more was Cleveland, the year they went 0-16. And so for them to have won seven games, and they should have won nine, because the last two games, Winston threw six interceptions. And, you know, all they need is an efficient quarterback to be pretty good. And I think they have better than an efficient quarterback.
What concerns do you have with Tampa?
That except for Brady and Gronk, none of them have ever played deep into January. Or relatively none of them. I haven't checked the roster. But obviously they're an inexperienced team that hasn't won deep into January. That would definitely concern me. But does it concern me enough to not pick them? No, not at all.
What about Baltimore? What concerns do you have?
Baltimore, the biggest concern I have, I guess, is that we have not seen Lamar Jackson twice in the postseason play a good game. You know, he's lost two games that they were favored to win at home. And he has not played well in either game. So he's got to do that. But you know, as I wrote, I said two games do not a trend make, at least in my opinion. Now, I still need to see him do it, but I think their weaponry is fantastic. If possible, they could even be even better running the ball with J.K. Dobbins and Ingram, because J.K. Dobbins, to me, getting picked 55th or whatever he was picked was, what a gift for the Ravens still to be able to get him late in the second round.
Your surprise playoff teams. Let's start with the NFC. Do you have a surprise?
I'd say Detroit. Halfway through the season, the Lions were fourth in the NFL in total offense. They have a great receiver group. They got Stafford. And then Stafford gets hurt, and the air goes out of the balloon. So, I think that they've got a chance with some defensive reinforcements in free agency. To be the second best team in their division. I think they got a chance to be better than Green Bay. I'm not positive, but I did pick that. And in the AFC, I picked the Raiders. I just think Mike Mayock has totally gone to town trying to build the best team that college football has to offer. You know, how many picks has he made? I'd have to count them up. It's like 10 or 11 in the last two drafts from great college programs. I'm not talking about in the seventh round either. You know, he's put his reputation on the line with guys who've played great in college at the best programs. And I'm kind of gambling that plus the speed of Henry Ruggs gives them 9 or 10 wins and gives them a playoff spot.
Finish this sentence. If the Packers don't make the playoffs,
it depends how Aaron Rodgers plays. I think he's going to play well. But if he plays poorly, obviously they'll be motivated to try to trade him. You know, Brian Gutekunst, and again, I think he's a bright young general manager. And I don't hate that he picked Jordan Love. I hate that he didn't give Aaron Rodgers any reinforcements at wide receiver. I simply don't understand it. You know, Aaron Rodgers has to look at some of these teams. I mean, imagine him. Imagine what he thinks when he looks at the weapons that Brady has. I mean, other than Davante Adams, he has none of those. And so I mean, Aaron Rodgers still could play great, and I don't think they would trade him. But if he plays poorly and they win six games, I would say somebody can probably come and get Aaron Rodgers.
More likely to make the playoffs, the Rams or Chargers?
I would say the Rams, just because, I mean, both of them, look, when's the last time we could have said, and I'm not positive about this, but both Western divisions could be the best division in each of their conference. You know, I that's horrible grammar, language, whatever. But the AFC West and NFC West could be the two best teams and best divisions in football. And I just think right now, I like what the Rams can do offensively just a little bit more, even though I love Austin Ekeler and I like the weapons, but Mike Williams enters the season damaged for the Chargers. That's a really good question, Dan, but if I had to pick one team to win nine games, I would pick the Rams.
It's no secret Jacksonville's tanking.
I don't know how you tank in the NFL. I mean, didn't everybody 1 year ago today say, well, Chris Greer, Brian Flores, they're tanking in Miami. Well, they had a better record than New England after Halloween. So I don't, you know, Gardner Minshew is not going to get called into Dave Caldwell's office, the general manager, and Caldwell say, hey, listen, we'll take care of you this year. But when you're ahead late, you know, don't necessarily play great. You know, I mean, it just, it doesn't happen that way. Now, I understand that the Jaguars, you know, are bereft of a lot of talent, but you never can tell what's going to happen during the course of an NFL season. Would anybody have said that the Dolphins would have been over 500 after Halloween? I certainly wouldn't have. And so that's why you can set yourself up for a prime draft pick, but to say, yep, we're trying to get that first pick in Trevor Lawrence, I think it's relatively impossible.
Let me go back to Miami. You got Miami making the playoffs.
I like Miami this year. I like, I like a lot of the young talent that they have. I think they're going to be lifted on defense with two great acquisitions in Kyle Van Noy and Byron Jones. You know, again, so much of this depends on how Fitzpatrick plays and when Tua plays. And I don't think anybody can predict that. But right now, I think they're an intriguing team. And it's like what Parcells used to say, I go by what I see. And what I saw late last year was a team that had a rock rib defense, got better on defense, and I think is going to be good enough on offense. Not great, but good enough.
Cam in New England, you got Patriots making the playoffs?
I don't. No, but obviously it won't surprise me. It won't surprise me if the Patriots win the division. I think New England, Buffalo, or Miami, any of those three could win the division. But I picked Miami to win it. I picked Buffalo to be a wild card, and I'd put New England out of it. Look, I get that Cam is a great new weapon for them, an incredibly opportunistic pick for late June to be able to get this guy to be your quarterback. But a couple of things haven't changed. They lost all four starting linebackers. They're relying largely on the unknown at linebacker, a vital, vital position in Bill Belichick's defense. And then, you know, they still have, relatively speaking, you know, a bottom of the league, a bottom quartile receiver group, tight ends and wide receivers. So, you know, how have they improved what Pro Football Focus thought was the worst receiver group in football last year? I mean, where is it? You know, they haven't really, I mean, they've added a couple of rookie tight ends, but to me, they still have a lot of questions to answer on offense.
How do you feel about Phillip Rivers leading the Colts?
Love it. Really love it. I think he's going to play well, and I think one of the reasons he'll play well is that Frank Reich and the offensive coordinator, Nick Sirianni, are going to put a game plan together every week that says this offense is as much about Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor as it is about Phillip Rivers. But I think Rivers will play well. He won't feel the same sort of pressure, I believe, as he felt in San Diego and then Los Angeles the last couple of years. I think that running game could be special in Indianapolis.
He's Peter King, NBCSports.com, NFL columnist, and, of course, his column Must Read Football Morning in America. But he's so much more than that, revealing that when he was at Ohio University, he smoked a doobie with the Doobie Brothers. Do you want to explain that, Pete?
Of course, yeah. In my senior year, we took turns on the staff of the school paper, the Post at Ohio University. We took turns covering the concerts when they came into town. There were three or four of them every year. Billy Joel came once, you know, whatever. But so the Doobies were there, and I really liked the Doobie Brothers. So the year I was managing editor of the paper that year, so I glommed onto that assignment. And I asked security if after the show I could interview Michael McDonald and Skunk Baxter backstage. And so I fully expected them to say no. And after the concert, they took me backstage. I talked to Michael McDonald and Skunk Baxter, and there was like eight people standing in a circle backstage at the Convocation Center in Athens, Ohio. And I just joined the circle, passing around a joint. So that's the night I smoked a doobie with the Doobie Brothers and interviewed Skunk Baxter and Michael McDonald.
Is there a chance you'll be put on the commissioner's exempt list for admitting that you smoked a doobie?
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so. You know what? I need an image booster. And if I'm seen as a you know, weed head, I think that would really help my image in public, Dan.
You're a pothead, Fokker.
I can't do it. Dan, I can't do it anymore. I haven't done it since a little bit after college, but I don't know. I just get that fast heartbeat. I just didn't appeal to me anymore.
Adam Schefter just reported that you've been put on the commissioner's exempt list. Wow, that was quick.
All right. Yeah. Schefty.
Good to talk to you, Pete. We appreciate your time, and good luck with your Super Bowl picks. I agonize over this every year. Like, I wait until the last possible second. I talk myself in.
I do, too.
And I talk myself out of things.
I do, too. But I actually have done pretty well in recent years. The last 8 or 9 years, I've been close on quite a few. And last year, I had three of the final four and whatever. So or 2 years ago, rather. And so, I don't know. Look, the other thing is, Dan, have fun with it. Make people pick some team that nobody is picking, because there's a decent chance that's going to happen.
Not Jacksonville.
No, don't pick Jacksonville.
Okay, I won't pick Jacksonville.
But you know what? Pick Tennessee. You know what? I really, really like Tennessee. I don't know. I think Tannehill is going to have another year where he steers the ship right. I love Jonnu Smith at tight end. I love Arthur Smith as a play caller. I think they're going to be good again. And adding Jadeveon Clowney, although I think he's a bit overhyped, I think that's a real good add for them.
Yeah, I like the I like that. I like Vrabel. I think, you know, there are teams that kind of embody their coach, and that certainly is
the case. Dan, you know, let me tell you one quick thing before we get out. This was one of the coolest things. I had a very abbreviated training camp trip. Only saw four teams. But the coolest thing I saw was Mike Vrabel looking like a high school football coach, standing in the middle of the field, blowing the whistle for sprints. That's what a high school football coach does. It wasn't the strength and conditioning guy. It was Mike Vrabel, you know, lines of guys, you know, on the end line. One group would go, blow the whistle. The next group goes, blow the whistle. And Vrabel talking to him the whole time. It was just, you know, you see things like that and you say, man, that is a guy who runs everything in this program.
Put on China Grove and spark up, Peter. We appreciate your time. Thank you, bud.
Take care, Dan.
That's Peter King. Doobie. What Peter was Weedhead?
Weedhead.
I saw Pete's hair when he was at Ohio University. It looked like he was weed hair. We'll come back. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Peter King was talking about the Dolphins after Halloween, that they were better than the Patriots. The Patriots weren't good after, in weeks 9 through 17, they went 4-4. They're averaging 21 points a game. The Bills went 5-4, averaging 20 points. Dolphins went 5-4, averaging 25 points. And the Jets went 6-3, averaging 22 points. I have no idea what to expect with the Jets, but your two best defensive players aren't playing this year. That is not a good start for you. And I don't know what kind of weapons Sam Darnold has. Have the Jets seen enough of Sam Darnold where they're going to offer him a contract extension? Because I don't know if they have. And in fairness to him, I don't know if he's had any kind of arsenal of weapons there. And you're going into year three. I mean, I don't know if it's a make or break year for him, but without two of your two best defensive players, and I don't like the talent around him. I mean, they went offensive line in the draft. Yeah, Paul.
Doesn't it feel that if Sam Darnold doesn't have a good year, it'll be blamed on the team, not him? Like, he's not to blame for any struggles he has. Last year he had 19 touchdowns and 13 picks. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just not that great when other guys like Mahomes are going through.
But he also missed considerable time with mono. Yeah, McLovin.
I saw his starting wide receiver is Chris Hogan.
Oh, my God.
Who they just sort of picked up it halfway through the offseason.
If he can't make the Patriots, like that right there with their lack of wide receivers. Hey, he's not good enough to play for the Patriots, but hey, come on in, Chris. Play for the Jets. You can be our number one guy. Let's go around the room. Best and worst of the weekend. Todd, I'll start with you.
Best of the weekend. Bucks on Sunday after losing the Greek Freak in the second quarter and for the entire second half. Avoid getting swept by the Heat. They win in overtime 118-115. Worst of the weekend. Tennessee football had a practice instead of a scrimmage, sadly, because 44 players were out, many of them due to positive COVID-19 tests or contact tracing. Just 2 months ago, if you remember, Coach Pruitt told us he was looking forward to 100,000 fans packing the stadium.
Well, you also had the athletic director, Phil Fulmer, saying they were looking at having 100,000 fans. And I said, I'll take the under. And I'd take the way under. Now, I was watching Navy last night against BYU. And they didn't allow the midshipmen to go to the game. But West Point, did West Point allow their cadets? Because they announced the attendance at Army's game as 5,200.
Yeah, it appeared that most of the cadets got to space out in the stadium, Mikey Stadium, at Army.
But Navy didn't allow that.
No. I'll look and see if there's a reason on that.
Yeah, I saw a couple. It looked like they probably had a high rank that they were able to go watch the game. Not that you wanted to stay too long with that game. I don't know how good BYU is, but Navy, without my guy Malcolm Perry, it's not going to be good. Not going to be good. And I saw where Perry made the Dolphins roster as a running back. I think I had him third on my Heisman ballot. I loved him. I there was no more exciting, more valuable player at the skill position than he was last year. Joe Burrow was spectacular. I do believe they would have been successful if you had another quarterback in there. Navy with Malcolm Perry, I don't know what they would have been, but he was that spectacular. And maybe I'm underselling what Joe Burrow did, but I think people don't realize what Malcolm Perry did for Navy. He was wonderful. McLovin, best and worst of the weekend.
My best, I'm going to go with my Tampa Bay Lightning.
I sat down
for some hockey last night.
Okay.
They won 8-2. It was 7-1 at some point. I love a hockey blowout. That's just like, I mean, how do you score 8 goals in a playoff game?
Wait, who wants to see a blowout in in Stanley Cup playoffs.
Just 8 goals in a game? Because I hate the Islanders.
No, because every game you're able to have it like 1 goal. And then I want Doc Emmerich excited.
So I have to admit, I was following the Flyers really closely last series. I didn't know it was sudden death in the overtime of the playoffs. As a fan, that is, because I don't think it is during the regular season, that is very tense. That is a very tense situation. But anyway, Flyers lost.
Thank you, Todd.
My worst is going to be the men's tennis draw after Djokovic went out.
Can anybody name a men's tennis player who's still alive in the U.S. Open? Now that Djokovic is out of there. Mm. Well, and I'm going to talk about that coming up top of the hour.
I did watch a match with the best player around is a guy named Dominic Thiem from Austria. And
are you making that up?
No, I'm totally serious. He's going to win the tournament. He's on fire right now. But he's 27, which is weird. We never heard of him. He's a Stan Wawrinka type.
Oh, that clears it up.
In other words, remember Stan Wawrinka won like 4 years ago? He's like the only guy who's won besides the big three. I did my research on this. But Dan, don't even ask. I have the draw in front of me. You will not name a player in a million years.
Seton O'Connor, best and worst of the weekend.
The Yankees have lost 14 of 19.
How does that happen?
That can be either your best or worst, depending on how you feel about the Yankees.
Can we find out the last time a Yankee team lost four? Ethan, can you come up with the last...
Ethan.
That's... Ethan. When's the last time the Yankees lost 14 of 19? How can you miss the playoffs this year? I think they're like the 8th seed. This is the year everybody has a chance to make the playoffs. Oh, man, 14 of 19. Okay, what else do you have, Seton?
You know what? To random thought, not really a best or worst, but I think I like golf better without fans.
Because you don't hear the idiot say, get in the hole!
Yeah, I don't know. It's just not nearly as fan-dependent for energy or something. I don't know.
I think at the Masters it is. I think at the Masters, but nobody yells out, get in the hole at the Masters. Mm. U.S. Open at Wingfoot, you'd have all those New Yorkers there. That probably wouldn't enhance the viewing pleasure. Paulie?
Couple of good college football names for best and worst of the weekend. Best of the weekend, Marshall Thundering Herd beat EKU, Dan, 59-0. Sorry. Herd running back, he's fascinating. You're irrelevant. His name is Knowledge McDaniel. 93 yards for Knowledge McDaniel for the Herd. And North Texas rolled Houston Baptist, 57-31. But my guys for HUBAP, they have great names. Quarterback Bailey Zapp and running back Ian Beek kept the Huskies in the game. Bailey Zapp.
I like when you get guys who get together who have their last name, and then their last name, they put them together, and then it creates somebody's name.
Like Carr and Wash, like the names are next to each other. Knowledge McDaniel.
Knowledge McDaniel. I'm going to sit next to him in chemistry class. Novak Djokovic gets tossed from the U.S. Open. We'll talk about that moment. My Super Bowl pick, guaranteed to go wrong, coming up on Thursday. More phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. Seton Pauly, Fritz and McLovin, yours truly, right here on the Dan Patrick Show.